Good morning, everyone. So today I'm going to be reading from Acts chapter 16. I'm looking at Lydia. So essentially, by hearing the word of God, Lydia became reconciled with him, which was her and her household's salvation. Unfortunately, I don't have any slides, so if you could all turn to Acts 16, that would be great. But I'm going to read it anyway. So it reads, "Then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. But Paul wanted to have him go on with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were of that region. For they all knew that his father was Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered to them the decrees to keep, which were determined by the apostles and elders at Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in faith and increased in number daily. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, Come over to Macedonia and help us. Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and the next day came to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the former city of that part of Macedonia, a colony. And we were staying in that city for some days, and on the Sabbath day we went out to the city, to the riverside, where prayer was customarily made. And we sat down and spoke to the woman we met there. Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. So she persuaded us." May the Lord bless this reading. So before we get to Lydia, between verses 11 and 15, we get to see the importance that's placed on ethnic and regional identity. And this formulates one's societal position, as well as their likely religious orientation. So it's important to note that Lydia is not actually her birth name. She was, in the Bible, she's named after the region that she's from. So as everything in the Bible is intentional, there are a couple other places where Lydia is mentioned. So I found it interesting how the region is mentioned in Ezekiel 30. I'm just going to read that passage. It reads, "The word of the Lord came to me again, saying, Son of man, prophesy and say, Thus says the Lord God, Wail, woe to the day, for the day is near, even the day of the Lord is near. It will be a day of clouds, the time of the Gentiles. The sword shall come upon Egypt, and great anguish shall be in Ethiopia. When the slain fall in Egypt, they take away her wealth, and her foundations will be broken down. Ethiopia, Libya, Lydia, all the mingled people, Chub, and the men of the lands who are allied shall fall with them by the sword." So interestingly, they refer to the nations with the pronoun her, which parallels with Lydia herself being a woman. But ultimately, we see that Lydia is included in those that will fall with Egypt. So in the Old Testament, as Ezekiel is in the Old Testament, we can see that God is very vengeful. But only with the coming of Jesus, which separates the Old from the New Testament, we can see a change in God's attitude. So God tries again several times in the Old Testament and wipes out cities like, for example, Noah's Ark or Sodom and Gomorrah. So unfaithfulness to God wielded his wrath. But now with Jesus, we can experience restoration. So if we go back to Acts 16, 11 to 15, where Lydia is mentioned, I'm just going to reread it so that we are all following. "So therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and the next day came to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the former city of that part of Macedonia, a colony. And we were staying in that city for some days, and on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside, where prayer was customarily made. And we went down and spoke to the woman who we met there. Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul, and when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. So she persuaded us." So in Ezekiel, we see the damnation of Lydia, but Acts 16 tells us something different. Lydia listens to the words given to her, which is her household's salvation. So the last verse particularly stood out to me, where after her household's baptism, she begged Paul and his companions to stay. After being filled with the Holy Spirit, she was filled with a desire to act and to do and to serve, to advance God's kingdom. And again, it wasn't just her who was saved, it was her and her whole household. But oftentimes, because of the culture that existed at the time, women were overlooked. But we must emphasize that through her, her whole household was saved. This is also paralleled later in the chapter, where a prisoner who was being beaten ended up being rescued by Paul. He and his household were also saved. So it's as if those who are written off by society end up being the center of household salvation. Her womanhood, Lydia's womanhood, did not change her ability to receive directly from the Lord and change the trajectory of her whole household. But again, going back to Ezekiel, Lydia's wealth was taken away and her foundations were broken down. But in Acts, we see restoration through this baptism for Lydia and her household. So I keep emphasizing her as well, because the Bible is, of course, written in a time of a far stricter patriarchal system, and men would typically have the final say. But here we see a woman named Lydia having total influence over her household. And just because society might tell us that we hold no influential value, we're always influencing someone or something. And especially as Christians, we may very well be someone's only experience of it. So it's important that we do walk in alignment with what Jesus stands for. Later on in Acts chapter 16, because I didn't read the whole thing, later on in the chapter, Paul and his companions also end up imprisoned. But after their release, it's written in Acts 16 verse 40 that they went out of the prison and entered the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they encouraged them and departed. So Lydia wasn't restored temporarily. She wasn't a believer just for a short period. Paul was able to go back to her. And I found this quite interesting. And I think it parallels with our relationship with God. It's not exactly the same, but I think it felt a bit similar to me, because I know that our oneness with God might not feel this way, where we're always able to easily welcome him. Because sometimes I feel far from God. I don't know if you feel the same, but sometimes I feel far from God. I feel like he doesn't hear me or see what I'm going through. But it is usually a consequence of me running away from him because of shame or whatever guilt I may be feeling. I've been baptized myself, but there are so many occasions where I doubt my own salvation, or I doubt my ability to return to God, and feel so embarrassed, even though he knows exactly what I've done anyway. But other times you might fall into the trap of calling on him only in a time of need, when we're in lack or at a dead end, or we find ourselves running back. But going back to Lydia, she was a seller of purple cloth, and in that time, purple cloth was a really expensive material. Only the well-off could afford it. So she wasn't in lack, clearly. So she had, in the physical sense, everything she needed. But even still, she humbled herself to listen and to hear what God was saying. So we can all take from this and understand that it doesn't matter what stage of life we're in, what the situation is, we always will need to have a relationship with God. So ultimately, we must remember that we can never run too far. We were once sinners, as seen in Lydia's representation in Ezekiel, but our choice to listen and be baptized by the Holy Spirit has brought us reconciliation with God. Upon our own baptism, whether it's the initial infilling of the Holy Spirit or an outward water baptism, our bodies become temples of the Lord, where he stays forever. But it's up to us to have a heart posture like Lydia's, where we can constantly hear instruction from the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 tells us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's an instruction. And as demonstrated by Lydia and her household, Romans 10:17 reminds us that faith comes by hearing the word of God. So Paul's return to Lydia's place reminds me of how important it is for us Christians, to walk in alignment with God, such that we can always welcome him into our lives, no matter where we go or what we do. So she specifically models generosity and faith, and we all have our own gifts that we can model to the world. But I pray that we all make a conscious effort to allow God and godliness into our lives by remaining in line with his commands and recognizing our influence over those around us. Thank you.